started realizing that when I wore the tag and I realized that I had the tag on, I started tipping a little better at the restaurant. You see, their behavior might not have changed, but my behavior had to. Because I was there representing our Father in heaven and Jesus Christ our Lord. The reality is that if I just act like myself when I'm out and about, people don't see Jesus. They see me. And they see me in all of my flaws, in all of my angst, in all of my animosities, in all of my angers. Because when we're done with a day of work, whether you're a pastor or a plumber, whether you're a doctor, or whether you just, you know, plow streets, whenever they see you, they see Jesus. But here's the difficulty. We struggle. We struggle with our nature as sinners. We struggle with who we are. It gets into us in a way that we can't just simply walk away from. And so what we have to do every day is we have to put on our Jesus clothes. Paul talks about it as the armor of God. Because the truth is that when we walk into the world, we don't understand what we do. For we do what we don't want to do, and what we hate, we do. I get angry at the people I love easier than I get angry at people that I don't love. Does anyone else know that? Do you live that? Why is it that we take it out on the people that are the closest to us? Why is it that we can't stop thinking about certain things? When we hear someone else has gotten a raise and we haven't, we're angry. When we hear that someone has done something that we wanted to do, we get jealous. When the attention isn't on us, it burns in us. Because part of our sin nature is that it's all about us. It's all about me. One of the things we have to do is we have to acknowledge that that's true. We have to acknowledge that we struggle with this. Now, one of the difficulties that we have in today's world is most people aren't willing to acknowledge that the whole cult of me that's in the world today, the whole thing about wanting for everyone to see us as perfect or approve of everything that we do, isn't really godly. Because much of what we think and much of what we do isn't really from God. Remember, Paul said, I don't do what I should do, and I do what I shouldn't. There's something in me that always points me in the wrong direction. Paul says, even my motivations are not right. Now, I'll be honest. Oftentimes when I do the right thing, I don't do the right thing because I want to do the right thing. I do the right thing because sometimes I want to make sure that my family and my church looks good. Remember, the name tag, the badge. You want to keep someone clean? Make sure they know who you are, right? Because then you act in a different way because you're on stage. It's what happens with pastors' kids. Pastors' kids, when they come to church on a Sunday, and my kids know it, they lived it. They're expected to behave a different way, aren't they? And you all know when you take your kids to church that you want them to behave a particular way, don't you? Because it's about the appearance. But Jesus wants it to be more than that. Now, when we struggle alone, we're kind of like this character in an old Saturday Night Live episode. Do you remember him? It was an old skit, and it was actually they were doing Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult. The fact that I know that might increase my value to some of you, and it might decrease it to others. But when we struggle with our sin and we try to do it alone, it's kind of like the person that thinks that if they just tried harder, if they just had more of us, more focus, more, you know, more effort, more cowbell, then maybe we would live a better life. The difficulty is that more of me never gets us away from sin. You see, the more we focus on ourselves with sin, trying to stamp it out, the more we actually embed that sin in our mind. I like to remind people, it's like the old saying about don't think about pink elephants. Have you ever heard that? And as soon as I say don't think about pink elephants, what do you think about? Pink elephants. If you're trying to lose weight, don't think about food. Because the more you think about food, the more you obsess about food. And the more you want to eat the food that you know you shouldn't eat. So all day you're thinking, you know, I really want steak, but I probably should have chicken. I really want steak, but I probably should have chicken. And all of a sudden you're going, I really want a steak. And almost everything that we do when we struggle with sin, the more we think about it, the more we obsess about it, the more it controls our lives. So the way out is, instead of resisting against sin and obsessing about it, it's to surrender to God's will and think about something good and glorious and godly. Now, one of the interesting things, whether it's diet or other things, is when we have something else to focus on, all of a sudden we discover that we could walk away from the things that used to be obsessions. People that have developed tastes for different foods have discovered that they could walk away from their old addictions because they filled them with something good. In the same way, when we focus on God and not our own things, we find that in following Jesus, we can walk away from some of the struggles of our own life. But it's only in following Jesus that we can truly have freedom. One of the other passages that you heard in today's worship service was a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. You heard it in the invocation called to worship at time. In it, Jesus says to us, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's in Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Jesus is calling those who would follow to find rest in him. But there's something fascinating in this. Jesus doesn't simply say, come to God, go to God with your troubles. Jesus says, come to me. Now, this is an incredibly audacious thing for Jesus to say. And most of us miss it. We miss the point that Jesus is saying, come to me and I'll give you rest. He is actually stepping in as the surrogate. He's saying, I can help you. Focus your worship, your dedication to me. This is when Jesus claims to be God, folks. And when he does this, he tells us that we can have rest, but that rest is if we take Jesus' yoke upon ourselves. Now, this is one of those things growing up in the country actually helps me in this area. Because we actually had a yoke in our barn. It was not one that we used, but it had been used in the past. And a yoke takes two large burden animals, two bulls or two cows or two whatever, and puts them together and allows them to pull a plow with the energy of two animals. But it also allows for something else. You see, you have the old animal that knows what they're doing, but you need a young animal that still has the energy and the strength. And so by yoking the two together, you have one that can provide direction and the other that can provide strength. It's a way of the old farmer of literally putting the best of both worlds together. Now, yoking to Jesus means that we can find direction and following Christ in his strength and add our energy to it. You see, the Bible tells us that the church, the people of God, are God's hands and feet. And our hands and feet are what go out and reach out to the world. But here's what I'm going to tell you. If we try to do it under our own strength, if we try to do it in our own way, then we're going to get into trouble. The reality is that no matter how much I think or how much I try, Every good idea I've ever had is one from God. It's not from me. And every good thing I've ever done is not my good thing. It's those moments when I surrendered to God and simply followed. The best position for any church to be in is not to have a dynamic leader that will send you in a direction contrary to God, but to having a leader and a people who will yoke themselves to Jesus Christ and go where God calls. It's not complicated, but it's sometimes difficult. Being yoked to God is when we know that we need Jesus to help raise our children. It's why we dedicate our children. It's going into the waters of baptism later in life and saying, "We will follow you, Jesus." And it's coming to the table where we recognize in communion that together we walk in Christ. We walk with Jesus in all these things. Now, one of the important things for us to recognize, you know, we always say Jesus loves the children, but what we sometimes forget is that we're all God's children. And the reality is that even in the same way that we carry our young ones, God's always carrying us in Jesus Christ. It's great when God gives me the opportunity to walk with him. Because the truth is, for most of my life, God's carried me. When Jesus says you can be yoked with him, he's actually giving you trust in the relationship. We drove to Georgia, and I'll close on this. We drove to Georgia last weekend. That's why I wasn't here. I was there for my son's wedding, and we had a great time. But one of the challenges of driving was we had too many people to put in one car. And so for the first time in our lives, we had the caravan with two cars. I drove one, and for most of the trip, my 18-year-old John, wave everyone to John. John drove the other car. John said to me, "I can do it, Dad, I can do it. Why won't you trust me?" Right, John? It's hard to trust someone, isn't it? Recognize that God in heaven trusts you. He's given you the keys. He's told you that you have the freedom to do what you would want. And then he says, "Follow me." And when I was driving, John was behind me. The whole time I'm looking in my rearview mirror. Every move I made was recognizing what he was going to do next. I was driving and wanting him to follow every path. Those are the moments where you realize the heart of God. Because I wasn't wanting John to follow me because somehow he was going to get lost. I wanted him to follow me because I wanted him close. I wanted him safe. I wanted him to get to the place where we were both going so that we could enjoy our fellowship and continue in love. When Jesus says follow, he's not doing it because he wants to control you. He's doing it because he loves you. And he wants you close and to take the best path forward together. Today's the day that we have the opportunity to choose whether we're going to follow God. When you follow, you're putting your heart in the hands of a Lord who loves you more than he loves himself. Our Father's a good Father. And in Jesus Christ, we have a loving King who would lay down his own life for the sake of those in his family. Let's pray as we seek to come to the table and give ourselves to the Lord. Lord God, you have called us to follow, but your leadership style is different to the leadership style of the world. You lead by giving your all. You have sacrificed everything for our sake. You even laid down your life for the sake of those who would be your children. Loving God, I give you thanks and praise that in Jesus Christ, you sent to us the Son of God, your only Son. You have created in each of us a desire to follow. Through your Spirit, you have prompted us and urged us to be your children. Help us today to commit to the Savior, Jesus Christ, to come to him and to follow in all ways in love. And as we follow you, Lord, help us to show that we are yours by loving each other and loving those in the world around us. We pray it all in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.